Welcome to the Talking People podcast. Books. Today I'm going to read an excerpt from Unbowed, the autobiography by Wangari Maathai, an environmental activist from Kenya who was awarded the Nobel Prize for Peace. My advanced students in their first year of advanced studies are reading it. And I'm going to read the excerpt starting at the bottom of page 75, coming to New York City, and ending on page 78. There's a double blank space where I will end, okay? So I'm going to read that. Then I have taken a picture of those pages so that you can see my underlinings and highlights to call your attention in different language items that we study at the advanced level, okay? Like cleft sentences and some expansion and tenses and pronouns and clauses, okay? Well, you can go to the Talking People website and have a look at those pictures. So there I go. This is chapter 4, page 75. Coming to New York City was like landing on the moon. Fortunately, I was constantly in the company of my friend Agatha Wangeci, with whom I had studied at St. Cecilia's, and Loreto Limuru. Both of us were to attend Mount St. Scholastica. Together, we figured out this strange city and shared our experiences. As we walked the busy streets of New York, we were lucky not to be knocked over, since we spent most of the time staring up at the skyscrapers, which seemed to sway in the wind and touch the clouds. Then there were the elevators. I had been in an elevator in Nairobi when I had received instructions on how to get a visa for the United States. But that elevator went only to the fourth floor. In New York, I rode in elevators to the 20th and 30th floors at lightning speed. I was convinced my stomach and heart would not arrive at the same time as the rest of me. How relieved I was when I reached the ground floor again and got out. One of the things we had to do in New York was go shopping, of course. This led to my first encounter with an escalator. My initial reaction was to think of the Irumu, powerful and noisy, slithering between floors, coming from nowhere and returning to nowhere. Well, I thought, sizing up the escalator, everybody else is stepping on it, so I'd better do the same. While I made it safely to the next floor, one of my shoes didn't, and I looked back wondering how I would recover it. I had no idea that there was another escalator going down on the other side. Luckily, a good old New Yorker realized my predicament and brought my shoe to me with a smile on his face. I have never forgotten that man's generosity and his warm welcome to the Magic City. Neither have I forgotten that first encounter with a moving staircase. Even today, I'm a little circumspect when I get on an escalator. Another aspect that amazed Agatha and me about New York was the presence of Black Americans. We could not believe that these were Americans and that they were as dark as we were and didn't speak English with Kenyan accents. As a child in Kenya, I grew up thinking that there were only three types of people in the world: Black people like me, pink people such as Europeans, and brown people such as Indians, Goans, and those from the Seychelles. I had assumed that all American Negroes, as we were taught to call them, were light-skinned. Therefore, to arrive in New York and see people as black as me going about their business was a shock. Agatha and I kept comparing some of them with people we knew at home. "Doesn't he remind you of so-and-so?" We smiled as we compared the likenesses. How little I knew about the Americas, apart from what I learned from my geography class. The Appalachians, the Rocky Mountains, and the Andes. The Amazon rainforest, the prairies and the pampas, and the Great Lakes. I had also learned about the Mayflower, the Civil War, and the Indians, although probably more from the cowboys' point of view than theirs. And I knew that the Americans had fought a war for independence from the British in 1776. In those days in Kenya, there were few radios, no television, and very few films, and little pop music to take America to every village. I found myself ignorant about simple things, such as knowing that Coca-Cola was an American drink and that Indians in Kenya and those in America were different. We didn't spend long in New York City. Myself, Agatha, and a young Kenyan man called Joseph Kangatu boarded a Greyhound bus with other students for our long journey to the Midwest, where we would spend the next 4 years studying. It would take us 2 days to get to Atchison on our bus, which was specially chartered to transport us to various colleges. We traveled through New Jersey to Pennsylvania and then to Ohio and Indiana. In the Midwest, we began to pass miles and miles of flat land full of corn that was perfectly proportioned and ready for harvesting. I thought to myself, "Lord, have mercy, where did they get all this corn?" When I found out that corn had come from the Americas and was not native to Kenya, I was stunned. At each stop, a few more students left the bus, and by the time we reached Indiana, there were 10 of us left. At one stop, we decided to get a drink at a local cafe. We saw a big sign for Coca-Cola, which, along with Fanta, was a very popular drink in Kenya. In fact, they were the only drinks we recognized. While we girls looked around the cafe for a place to sit, the boys went up to the counter to order the drinks. A few moments later, however, they returned, empty-handed. "We can't sit down and have a drink," they told us. "Why not?" we asked. "Because we're black," they replied. A light bulb went on in my head. Even here in America, and even in a small open cafe? It was explained to us that we could have a drink, but only outside. "Why should we drink outside?" we said, outraged. "Let's go. Let's get back on the bus." So we did, without a drink. That was my first encounter with racial discrimination in America. In the USA, we should say, okay, now better. It was so shocking because it was unexpected in my newfound home. Years of colonial education on the subject of the USA, of America, had somehow kept the African-American part hidden from us. Even though we studied the slave trade, the subject was taught in a way that did not leave us appreciating its inhumanity. I'm sorry about this interruption, students, but consider the same has happened with women in history. I'm continuing. An African has to go to America, to the USA, to understand slavery and its impact on black people, not only in Africa, but also in the diaspora. It is in America, in the USA, that words such as black, white, negro, mulatto, skin color, segregation, discrimination, and the ghetto take on lives of their own. Okay, I think this passage is interesting for various reasons. One is the very interesting reason of learning about when people discover skyscrapers and elevators and escalators. I love that, when people discover things for the first time, right? And then also the issue of finding out that black people or Indian people are not the same in your country or in a different country. And then the more serious issue of how, when we learn about places, we are not told, or we don't learn about things that are happening. Or when we learn about history, we learn from the powerful white man's point of view, which means that a lot of people are left out. As we have started discovering since the last quarter of the 20th century, thanks to research in modern social sciences. That's why when I read black writers, as a feminist, it's very helpful, because it's very similar to what happens with women's discrimination in patriarchal societies, right? We study history and we don't miss women. We have been studying history for centuries and we have never missed women. We have never thought, hey, there's something wrong with this. I know my mother. I know my mother is an intelligent being. Or I know this woman who is an adventurer, you know. So anyway, I'm very grateful to Wangari Maathai, because in this autobiography, she brings up a lot of issues that we should think about today and that we should discuss in classrooms and in cafes and everywhere. So I hope you enjoy this wonderful book, and I hope you use it to learn to improve your English at the advanced level, okay? I will do some more underlining and prepare a worksheet and publish it on the blog called Language Learning from Reading. Well, I will publish it on the Talking People website, of course, but I usually post it on that blog too, okay? In case you want to check it out later on. Okay, so have a nice day, and well, happy end of 2019 and beginning of 2020. I hope all your dreams will come true and you will become better people who will create together a better world. 请不吝点赞